guys, and welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. I hope everyone is doing well and staying safe during this trying time. Today I have special guest and friend, American professional tennis player Cece Bellis. In early 2018, she was the second youngest player in the top 100 of the WTA rankings and has had a career high of 35, which she achieved in August 2017. In 2014, she won a match at the US Open against top 20 opponent Dominika Cibulkova. During quarantine, Bellis has been super good at making some delicious recipes. Check out her Instagram, CC Cooks, for some inspiration. I've decided to cook some of my own recipes, but half of them have turned out raw by choice, though. Without further ado, CC Bellis.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. So, how are you? I know quarantine is a trying time. This is a trying time. How have you been? You're in Orlando, right?
Yeah, no, I've been good. I'm in Orlando. I still have a couple courts near me that are open, so I've been using those and kind of built a home gym at my house, which is really fun and definitely something different, but I'm enjoying it as much as I can, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were training this morning. Who are you training with? Is it your normal routine?
Yeah, my normal routine, my coach, and we just go at it hitting in the morning, and then we do fitness rehab at my house, so it's kind of a whole package. We're doing the same thing that we would be doing if we were at USTA, but, you know, just a different setting.
So you have a tennis court at your house. Is that where you've been hitting?
No, there's a country club nearby that actually is still open with our court, so we've just been using it. Yeah.
That's very helpful.
Yeah, it is. Oh my gosh, I feel so lucky.
Any hobbies you've picked up during this time besides your fabulous cooking? I actually have a frozen pizza in the oven.
love it. That's the best. Not too many, like, different hobbies. I am taking college classes online, so I've just been finishing those up for the semester. And like you said, cooking a lot. Just kind of relaxing when I'm not hitting.
So who got you into the cooking? I mean, you're not just, like, baking, frozen pizzas. You're, like, really hardcore. You have a whole Instagram page about it. Well, who got you into the cooking?
My mom is, like, an unbelievable cook. She's so good. She cooks every meal. So I think I got my love for it from her, for sure.
Do you have a favorite recipe, or do people say that one of your recipes are just, like, the best?
For a while I was known for my cinnamon rolls, but that was before I kind of went into different, you know, areas of cooking and more like savory items. That was when I was younger and just kind of baking, but I don't know if I have a favorite one. I kind of like changing it up every week, so. Yeah.
So you have an interesting story because you really skyrocketed and did amazing things at a very young age, and then of course you had to deal with a very difficult injury. Does this time of quarantine kind of stink because it's like you spent so much time, you know, rehabbing, getting your surgeries and trying to get back on the court, and now like you're finally healthy, you feel like you can't get out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying to look at as many positives from this time as we can and take as many positives away from it, and we're just trying to, you know, obviously train really hard but not push my arm too much, and we're almost looking at it as a just another building block for you know, my rehab progressions and everything. So we're trying to take as many positives as we can, and just, you know, if I'm hitting, I'm happier than I could ever be otherwise, so that's
yeah.
What we're looking at it as.
You were just 15 when you were making a huge dent at the U.S. Open. What were those emotions like when you were winning as opposed to maybe, like, winning now later in your life? Was it less pressure,
yeah,
maybe?
Back then?
Yeah.
I mean, I always, even back then, I put a lot of pressure on myself to play well each match and, you know, compete as hard as I could. So I don't necessarily know if I had less pressure back then. I was definitely, you know, newer to the scene and, you know, it was all, like, crazy and everything going on was overwhelming for sure. So I think it was, you know, definitely a good start for my career, but now I feel like winning is more normal, because each match, you know, that you win is so special, but it's a bit more normal now than it was back then, which is a blessing. And I think back then, you know, if I get one win in a slam like that, it was the craziest moment ever. And now it's like, oh, you know, I won a match in a slam, it's amazing, like, let's try and keep going. And back then I didn't even know if I could get one, so it's definitely different. But, you know, every win is really sweet, for sure.
The craziest thing I read today was that you were born the same year Serena Williams won her first U.S. Open. How crazy is that?
I mean, she's just incredible, right? Like, can you imagine that? So insane.
But that, like, just kind of shows you that the age of tennis is just getting older. And that's, like, you know, that's, like, a really big positive, because it feels like, yeah, we are going through this time. And, yeah, there's injuries, so it kind of gives you an opportunity to look after your health. And I mean, I feel like a lot of times tennis players try to push themselves when they're not really ready to play. And so this is kind of a great thing, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I'm definitely taking positives from it and not, you know, stressing my arm too much, but definitely, you know, pushing myself in other ways as hard as I can. So, I think we're okay with it right now. If it goes any longer, you know, definitely be tough, but fingers crossed, we can start in July.
Yeah, do you feel like when you have any, like, soreness or aches in your arm, you're kind of more careful? Or do you feel like you can push it a little bit?
We're definitely not trying to stress it too much. And we're focusing a lot on, like, rehab and strength of my arm, so it can get to the point where we don't have to worry about it anymore. But because it's still pretty new and kind of fresh off of the injuries, we're still pretty careful. But I'm definitely okay on court, and I'm, you know, that's hitting normally. So we're just cautious in different areas, like in fitness. If I'm lifting, you know, too heavy or anything like that, we'll definitely be careful.
Before you returned to tennis, the doctor told you that you may never be able to play pro again. How did you kind of handle that information?
Yeah, that was really tough. We went to go see, so I got my elbow surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and I was having a bit of elbow pain again afterward, and so my doctor from there told me to go to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, since it's closer. So we went to go see a doctor there, and that was the first thing that he told me right before I got an MRI. And I was like, oh my gosh, that, you know, it's the craziest. I broke down, you know, super emotional at that point. And especially because of after everything that I went through to get to that point, it just seemed minor what I was feeling, the pain at that point. And for that to be the ending moment for me would have been horrible after everything that I, you know, persevered through beforehand. So yeah, it was really tough, and then we ended up seeing another doctor later that day who took a look at my MRI and was like, no, you know, I think it's just something a lot less severe, and you just need to take the right precautions, a little bit of time off, strengthen it. So that's what we did, and it's been good since then.
Did any part of you, when you got the bad news, were you like, I don't care what the doctor says, I'm going to be out there, I'm going to compete, like, I'll be fine?
I mean, what he said before I got the MRI was basically a career-ending injury, so, and I was feeling enough pain at that point that I was like, I don't want to push it if it's, you know, hurting, so at that point I was like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I won't be able to, maybe it's gone past the point of being able to heal on its own, and I am going to have to get the surgery, but I really, really have to think if I, you know, before I ever got another one. So I would definitely try anything to not do that. So I think the answer to your question was no.
No, yeah. Wait, so how many surgeries did you end up having?
Four.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I wouldn't get another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it kind of, like, I feel like after one, they tell you to get surgery again, that's disappointing. But then by three and four, were you losing hope? Or, like, that's just very tough.
The thing was, it is. And the thing was, is each one, I thought I was going to be okay afterwards.
Yeah.
And then I would just still have the pain. After all, I get back on court, it'd still be hurting. And I'm like, wow, the last one was supposed to fix it, and it didn't. So the last surgery I had to remove a plate that I had in my arm that we knew could we knew that this probably was going to happen because my arm isn't, you know, the biggest arm ever. So it couldn't actually physically hold the plate that was in my arm. So my doctor had actually warned me about that and said that it probably wasn't going to be able to hold it, but it needed to be in there to reattach the bone. So I needed to have it in, but, you know, we knew that that was probably going to happen where he would have to take it out.
So besides, like, having your schoolwork, were you doing, like, homeschooling for high school, or are you... Yeah, is that what you were doing at the time?
Yeah, I was doing online school.
Online school. So besides that, how did you, like, pass the time? Were you, I mean, obviously you try to keep up with your fitness, but, like, post-surgery, it's hard to do anything. How would you keep busy?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was actually already taking college classes at that time. So, like I said, I was doing that, and I was doing fitness pretty much the whole time. And after surgery, I was planning on coming back to tennis, you know, and I would get to the point fully fitness-wise and totally strong rehab-wise, and then I would get to the point it would hurt again. I would have to get a surgery, and the same thing would happen again. So it wasn't like I was really taking time off, you know.
Yeah.
I guess good in a way, but tough in other ways. Because I could have taken, you know, obviously a lot of time off in that stage. Not that I would have wanted to. I'm glad I still had, you know, rehab and fitness to keep busy, so...
Probably felt like an ongoing, never-ending cycle, right? Rehab, surgery,
exactly.
Tennis. Yeah, wow. And so you're taking college classes with Indiana University East through the WTA. How are you liking that?
I love it. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. It's been nice for me to have, like you said, through all this time and to have something else at the end of the day to come back to. So I really enjoy it.
Which courses are you taking?
Right now, I'm doing managerial accounting, commercial law, and professional writing skills.
Very cool. Do you get to, like, major in something?
Yeah, I'm a business major.
Business major.
I just chose it last semester, yeah.
Very cool. So let's say, like, if tennis didn't happen, like, what would be maybe another direction you would like to head into career-wise?
I don't know. I would definitely be, in college, I think, like, you know, not doing online school, but I would definitely be in college right now and kind of deciding at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I know at one point you were really looking at Stanford and you got an offer, and San Francisco, that's your hometown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what were the many different reasons you wanted to go there? I'm sure there's many reasons.
I mean, like you said, I live literally 5 minutes from the campus, so it was so close to my house, and, you know, I practiced there all the time when I was younger, and I knew the campus so well, and I loved it so much, and I always, you know, kind of got there. So I think that was, you know, one of the reasons. And then obviously the school being great, and I really like the girls on the team, so it's kind of a whole package.
Yeah, it's really nice when you can find a school that has the good academics with the good tennis team and the coaches that you feel like would get you the next level. So was there, like, was it hard to make that decision not to go and to continue playing pro?
Yeah, no, it was definitely tough, and definitely one of the toughest decisions I've made. But we kind of had a goal, like, my team and I turned pro if I got to be top 100. So when I got to that stage, I thought it was time, you know, to turn pro. And I felt like at that point I would be able to do so, like, confidently and kind of leave school behind at that point. And now I'm still taking classes online, which is awesome. So kind of still doing both, which is nice.
I wanted to ask you, you know, you got hurt, but then you came back, you played your first tournament in Houston, right? The WTA event. I really liked that tournament. Even though I played in 2018, I played it, and it was very cold. That tournament was freezing cold. I had a night match on the center court, and it was so cold. It was, like, below freezing.
It was insane.
Yeah. But, so, like, you came back right away and you won a bunch of matches. Like, how did you mentally just handle it so well, like, from the start, like, right after a long period off?
It was tough for me. And even when, you know, I went to Australia, it's still tough for me to get back, you know, the groove of matches, which is probably one of the downsides of this break. You know, I was finally getting matches under my belt with what I needed, but... it was definitely tough coming back for me and, you know, feeling all the nerves again and just getting matched tough. I think is going to be the biggest thing for me going forward, is once I get, you know, a couple months of matches under my belt, I think I'll be good. But yeah, still new, still like nervous every match.
You broke up, Cece.
Yeah, still getting used to it.
You broke up for a little bit.
Okay.
I think we heard most of it, just a part we didn't hear. Matches under your belt. What's really crucial that people from the outside don't really realize is getting the practice sets and the practice matches are not even close to an actual match situation.
Yeah. I played millions of practice matches, but it's nothing like playing an actual match. Yeah.
And that's why I feel like when I go to tournaments, I prefer to play doubles, because you get, you know, those extra matches. And even though, like, you can, like, ask someone to hit for an hour, play practice sets, you don't get those nerves. You don't get that fatigue from the nerves, all that. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a different feeling completely.
No, totally. That's why I definitely wanted to play doubles when I went to Australia. And even though we had a really good match in the first round, we ended up losing, but I felt like that even helped me so much, you know, for match toughness going forward in that tournament.
Match toughness, targets, volleys, serves. Yeah. I feel like, you know, in doubles, it really forces you to hit that good return, because you have the net person pressuring you. And then when you're serving, for me, when I'm serving in doubles, for some reason, the court gets super small. I know the person at the net makes, like, the box look smaller. Yeah. And you kind of, you have to really focus. But then when you play singles, it, like, all opens up and it feels so nice. Oh, you're breaking up again. No. Cece, where are you? No, where'd she go? Cece, I did not hear any part of your answer to that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I don't know. This is a really random fact, but I read that you don't like Justin Bieber.
Okay.
I want to hear your take on this, and I don't either. He has some good songs, but it's not great.
This is what happened. So I was 15, playing the US Open, and loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him. And then in an interview, I got asked, oh, we hear that you love Justin Bieber. And I didn't want to be like, oh my God, I'm a diehard. Like, you know, obviously at 15, I was like, let me act cool, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then I said, like, no, I don't like him in that interview. When, you know, obviously I did. I'm a fan.
You're a fan.
We'll just put it that way.
Yeah. That's good. Now, there's a lot of people from the outside don't really see the daily grind. They see the high moments when you're, you know, on Ash and you go down and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I just won the US Open. But they don't see what goes on day in and day out. What would you say is the biggest thing that people don't really get and understand?
I think just the hours of training that we as professional tennis players put in, like, I'm consistently putting in, including fitness, 5 to 6 hours a day, like, minimum, including rehab, seven hours a day, minimum to eight, and then plus recovery, closer to 8 to 9, probably.
That solidly packed day.
Yeah.
Are there ever nights when you're on the road and you're scrolling through, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, and you're like, wow, my friends are, like, together hanging out, and you're like, I wish I could have a part of this a little bit. Like, it's normal.
I mean, yeah, I think everyone, like, at some point definitely wishes that, and with all the time off that I had, I did get to experience a lot of that and a lot of, like, kind of a normal life for a while. I went home and was catching up with all my, like, school friends from back there, you know, normal friends, not tennis players, so I definitely had that for a while, so I had enough time of that, and then I was ready to get back on tour and get back to, you know, tournaments, and like you said, like, I guess being more alone, like, on the road, but I don't know, I like it, I like, you know, having a good team around me to have fun with, and we try and, you know, make everything fun.
I feel like balance is so important. You know, you see some people on the road for, like, a month at a time. I don't know how you are, but I have a really hard time with that. You seem like a social girl. Yeah.
Yeah, I would never, like, be on the road for more than 3 tournaments. I think, you know, we've kind of made that a point, especially for my body, too. Yeah. Like, coming back, we would never go more than 3 max for sure. Obviously, like, clay season is different, like, you know, with all the warm-up tournaments. But, yeah, we would never be on the road for more than that amount of time for sure.
What would you say is your favorite slam?
U.S., for sure. U.S. I mean, I think we're definitely, you know, biased for living here, but, yeah, I think it's awesome.
Do you like New York?
Yeah, I love New York. Yeah, one of the best cities, for sure.
It's kind of crazy how, you know, they've turned the USTA Billie Jean King Tennis Center into, like, a hospital right now. Isn't that insane?
I know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
And it's hard to imagine. Amazing. Okay, so we're in April, so May, June, July, August, end of August into September. It's like 4 months from now, you know, we're supposed to have a tournament on America's biggest tennis stage. And it just, I don't know, makes you wonder. I don't know. It's going to be tough. Would you play without fans if that were the case? Sorry. Would you play the U.S. Open without fans if it came down to that?
Yeah, I would, for sure. I think, you know, we play tennis for the game, not for the spectators. So yeah. I think if it came down to it, we definitely should play without fans.
Absolutely. Well, no, this was awesome. Thank you so much for taking us into the life of Cece Bellis. And I can't wait for you to, you know, make that big boom and, like, do what you've done previously. I know it's been tough, and this is obviously a tough time, but I feel like your time is coming, so.
Oh, thank you. You're the best. Your time is coming, too. I can see you out there.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Finally healed up with the injury, and I'm excited to see you out there.
I know. I'm excited.
Well, keep up with the good training and the good recipes. If you cook anything good, let me know, and I'd love to make it.
I will. Sounds awesome.
All right, Cece, take care. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, bye-bye. And that's Cece Bellis. You know, only 21 years old, but it's been through the surgery, recovery, rehab cycle 4 times. I can't even imagine going through that once. It really takes a special athlete to be able to come back physically, mentally, and emotionally from 4 surgeries. So good luck to her. I feel like because she did so well early in her career, it really set the tone for all of American tennis. And I feel like now more than ever, we're having young Americans come through. So it's a very positive thing she did for American tennis. As always, guys, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules Elbaba, JulesElbaba. If you like this podcast, subscribe and leave a review or comments. I will get to all of them. But see you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.